Welcome to the Gamers Inn. This is not Nerdtacular. However, I would like you to come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. Not going to Nerdtacular, unfortunately. I'm your host tonight, Ryan. For the last time, I'm not at Nerdtacular. But Jocelyn is, therefore she is not here, so I am joined by the equally lovely Josh Cook. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm flattered. But I'm also not at Nerdtacular.
Yeah, what's with that? Today I've had such a crazy day. We were talking pre-show about how we were trying to avoid Twitter and how I was, you know, falling into depression as I was tweeting that we were going live. that today it was so crazy that I finally realized when I was sitting in the car waiting for Ashley to be done work that I'm missing Nerdtacular right now. And it feels like just a month ago I was there. But it was literally a year ago today. So, yeah, it's sad. And we, you know, I'm not going to bring the show down by wishing we were there. Jocelyn's there. She'll be back next week. She'll be able to tell us all about the awesome stuff she saw. and we'll be equally depressed next week. But it'll be a little happier because we'll be getting info on what happened. But
Everyone will be back. So
yeah, everyone will be back or on extended vacation. And, yeah, so... Josh, this is your first time on the show. This isn't the first time you've been mentioned on the show. So I'll give you some time. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the fine listeners who Josh is.
Well, for those who listen to the show, I'm just Josh or Corito or Dorito.
Now, you are not just Josh. Come on.
Just Josh is my nickname. So.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
No, it's funny, but...
I tried.
Been gaming most of my life, and when I started listening to you guys a couple months ago, that's when I really got interested in doing my own podcast. And that's been going strong despite numerous technical difficulties, but I'm getting there.
You know, the technical difficulties are what shape you as a podcaster. I mean, we all have them. They all arise at the worst possible times, but you know, you grow past them. You learn not to, you know, you learn to check your inputs before going live so you don't suddenly find that you're yelling at a mute button. But yeah, you get there, you know, and I'm speaking from experience in the sense that I've had plenty of times where I've failed. The main thing is to practice, and by continuing to be a podcaster, you are doing a great job.
Yeah, my goal is by episode 10, everything's ironed out, so...
That's a good goal.
Yes.
Episode 10 is definitely like one of those milestones where if you've made it that far and you're still enjoying yourself, then you'll probably make it to episode 100 and be still enjoying yourself. 10 weeks is a long time when you think about it, right? And 10 episodes was kind of at a point where we looked at the Gamers Inn and said, like, okay, how is this going? What can we improve? Like, and you know, it was a milestone worth looking at and worth improving on. And you know, just keep trucking. And, we've talked about it on the show before, but, when it comes to podcasting, you'll find if you enjoy yourself before you know it, you're on episode 60 something, and it's like, wow, we've been doing this for 2 years. That's crazy. So yeah, keep trucking. And that's the any key or any key gaming?
It's the any key gaming.
Okay.
Somebody went around and claimed all any key gaming stuff.
Of course they did. And what are they using it for? A parking site?
The website is nothing at all. It's just claimed.
I hate when they do that.
Somebody's waiting for me to become really famous with the Any Key Gaming so they can try to sell it to me.
And then you won't sell out, man. Don't sell out. Yeah. So, well, you know, we keep talking about gaming, but we haven't talked about any games yet. So let's start off with a game we both played last night. This seems to be a bit of a tradition when we play a new game on game night. And we had another patron reward game night with Nazi Zombie Army 2.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, well, that's not even the whole title. It's actually, what, Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army 2. It kind of sounds like not zombie army. I don't know. Anyways, we had a lot of fun. We played some four-player co-op with the Zamp crew, Bob and Lou. We shot some zombies in the head. What did you think about that game?
I enjoyed it. I liked it when it went into slow-mo, when you had like a long-range shot that connected.
Yeah, those familiar with the Sniper Elite series, this is sort of like a weird spin-off in the Left 4 Dead kind of vein that Rebellion has sort of used as a template. But Sniper Elite sort of features like sniping mechanics in the sense of using like wind resistance and weather and bullet type and all kinds of different things to tell what you need to do to get that bullet through that Nazi brain. And what happens is, when you shoot it, if you shoot it at the right angle or you use your breath or something, I don't know, it goes into a slow-mo where you watch the bullet just go, like, super slow-mo and then, like, impact and be, like, shows, like, crushing skulls and organs going all bleh. It's actually, like, super gross, but also super satisfying.
Yeah, it's rather rewarding to see it happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's based off distance, because there was a few times where it was like shotgun sniper shot to the face and nothing really happened. So
Right.
I think it's when you nail those long distance shots.
Yeah, okay. But I found that I've played the Sniper Elite main titles, and I found that you weren't getting that organ smooshk, you know, in the Nazi zombie game. And we kind of thought maybe it had to do with the fact we were playing co-op, because what literally happens is in the co-op game, it slows down a little bit. It follows your bullet trail, but you can definitely tell that the action is still happening as you're watching it. So it's like that risk reward for the developer to think like, okay, how long can we pull the gamer away from the action to show them this cool zombie kill? So there is no animated brain squish in co-op.
Yeah, I had it in the single player because I tested it out before we jumped on. But it makes sense not to have it in the multiplayer, because, I mean, if it slows down that slow, like, everyone else could be running away because we're getting ambushed. Meanwhile, your guy's just chilling there watching that bullet cross the battlefield.
That's a good point that you brought up, in the sense that it's very different gameplay-wise when you compare it to the original Sniper Elite games, because it's not tactical in the sense that you're going around sneaking, getting the right vantage point, paying attention to wind resistance. Nazi Zombie is very twitch-based. It's still tactical in the sense that you have to set up your landmines and trip mines in a specific way to protect against a siege. But you are literally still, like, killing zombies as fast as you can, and it doesn't matter kind of where you hit them. Like, you get more points if you hit them in the head, but if as long as they're dead and you don't die, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really enjoyed it. It definitely came off as a game that was like the team just having a lot of fun with the engine they built for. Like, Sniper Elite is still very much their main franchise, whereas these zombie games feel like, let's create a Halloween spinoff. So I don't know. I liked it. And, I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to their third installment, eventually, because Sniper Elite 3 came out. Why not do Nazi Zombie Army 3 at this Halloween?
I mean, I'll admit it. It kind of got me interested in the series. This is like the first Sniper Elite game that I've played.
Yeah, the third one just came out.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. So, I mean, a little bit later down the road, I might check out when it gets a little bit cheaper. But, I had a lot of fun playing it last night.
Yeah, we did. It was interesting, and there was a lot of cool moments where, just co-op games introduce these odd instances where, because you're with friends and because you're getting that feedback with friends, and something funny happens, it's compounded like 10 times because everybody's witnessing at the same time. Like, there was a specific instance where Lou was like, okay, we know there's a bunch of zombies behind the gate. And he says, don't shoot the lock. We need to prepare so when the zombies come out of the gate, we can take them all out. So we're like loading up this hallway with like trip mines and landmines. And then we're all like, okay, Bob, shoot the lock. He shoots the lock. Zombie touches the first landmine, and evidently there's a bug where if you lay too many landmines on the same sort of radius, like, someone spontaneously combusts, because as soon as they hit that landmine, Ryan just goes, yeah, and he falls down over dead, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, all those explosives just kind of chain reactions right to your face.
And I'm down.
It was a little funny, I'll be honest.
It was funny. I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, what the hell? I think maybe it triggered like a trip mine closer to where we were, but little things like that really, really make that game. It's very similar to Forced in the sense that we played that 2 weeks ago. If we had played that single player, it probably wouldn't have been as interesting as us playing it multiplayer.
I can't see that game being too entertaining single player.
Exactly.
That's definitely a multiplayer game.
Yeah. So I think we'll move on from there. But if you're interested, we play. We have game nights every Thursday, 8 o'clock sharp. Well, not always sharp, but every Thursday night at 8, and you can get in on the fun by being a patron. And certainly in the future, these we'll be doing more patron reward nights. So it definitely means good for you and us to be a patron. It means very good.
Yes.
Ryan does words. Enough about the zombies. We are contractually obligated to not talk about zombies longer than 10 minutes, so we will move on. Josh, what have you been playing?
I really got into Divinity Original Sin, mm-hmm. which recently came out.
Big indie title everyone's talking about.
Yes, it raised over $1 million on Kickstarter. And
finally, I missed that. When was it on Kickstarter?
I think early last year.
Oh.
I think it's 2013. It's either 2012 or 2013.
This isn't that Eternity game. That's Obsidian, right?
I don't know what game you're talking about. So
there's too many Kickstarter games. Anyways, I shouldn't have interrupted you. What is Divinity? Right. Tell me about this Divinity.
It is a Diablo-esque kind of game. It's top-down, except combat is turn-based, which is a very interesting twist to it. And it's a bit unforgiving in that the game doesn't scale with your level. So, and it's rather open world, just a bit. Okay. So if you deviate from the correct pathway, I guess, you end up fighting mobs that are higher level than you. And,
So you kind of went down wrong. So, okay, yeah. Do you have a choice to go down that path? Or is it like, you should go this way, but if you want to go left, you're more than welcome to go left, but you should probably go right?
Well,
is it like that? Or is it more just like, fuck, this is a big map, there, and then I start dying. Okay, I started dying this way. Like, how many directions do they give you?
You pretty much start in a town mm-hmm. that has, I think, like 3 or 4 gates, which lead to a rather open world. And there are times where the gate guard would be like, hey, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go this way, but I mean, I'm not going to block you or anything.
Nice. See, that's what I wanted to hear, because I understand the arguments that people have, like the Dark Souls players, and I think Jocelyn's even made this point. Saying, like, man, I just want a game where I can go wherever I want and I'm not told not to go anywhere, and I can just, if I die, I die. And I'm like, no, I don't want a Wild West. I would love a controlled Wild West. You know, maybe a Wild West with those cool little, like, velvet rope things where the people actually let you take them off and walk past if you want. You can kind of touch the stuff in behind it and then move away. It's like, I've had my fill. So it's good that they do that, because I'm not a big fan of, like, people, like, games that show you, like, hey, look at this. This is our game Bible. It's about as thick as a phone book, and you kind of need it to play. But guess what? We're going to light it on fire, and this is the only copy. Have fun. And I'm like, no thanks. I do not want to do that. Yeah, so you're enjoying it. You went down the gate. You didn't talk to the guard. He said, "Don't go down there, kid." And you're like, "What do you know? You're just a guard."
Well, it took me a few tries to find the right direction, because I mean, it's literally open world once you leave the town. Good. It's not very restricted. Like, there's a single pathway out of each gate. So, like, if I took a left turn, I should have kept going straight. And next thing you know, I'm in a fight where I'm just getting destroyed.
Mm.
And, like, the levels on it, like, I think I was, like, level 3 facing some level 5 guys. And I just got whooped so hard.
Interesting.
So, it's unforgiving, that's for sure.
Now, and when you say, like, it's turn-based combat, is it more, like, XCOM-y or is it Final Fantasy?
XCOM.
Interesting. So you move, you have, like, cover and you move along the map and stuff?
Well, there's no cover, but it's the same principle of you have X amount of action points and you can move or use abilities.
You're kidding me. Why am I not playing this game? I got a review copy of it. I haven't had a chance to boot it up yet. And Jocelyn has one as well, because I heard there's co-op. So yes. Have you tried the co-op yet?
I have not.
Okay. So how would you envision the co-op working? I've seen screenshots and it looks like you have like a buddy system.
Yeah, it's when you first start up in the single player campaign, you pretty much create both the main party characters. You have a number of different classes you can choose from. You can also change their spells, what they're focused in, and all that fun jazz. So I'm assuming what the co-op is each person picks one. And as you go around the town, you can find certain characters. They'd be like, yo, let me join you on your quest to kill all the bad guys. And you're like, sure.
Why not?
Eh, I don't know who you are, but I'll trust you to get my back in a time of need.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming each person playing co-op would be allowed to get one buddy to travel with them that they can control. Because right now, I'm controlling all 4 people in the party.
Oh, okay. So I was going to ask, like, how many... Is 4 your max?
I haven't found anybody else willing to venture with me, so I don't know if I can push it to 5, but I'm pretty sure 4 seems like it would be the fair number.
Okay.
Because the battles I'm doing, now that I've found the appropriate path, at least one of them, each battle, it's not like I'm blowing through them at my level. Like, it still requires quite a bit of thinking. And every time I die, which has been quite a few times, like, the game's like, hey, you know, you can turn down the difficulty, right? And I'm just like, no, not going to do it.
What difficulty are you on? Normal?
I haven't even checked. I don't want to check. I'm hoping it's like hard or something with the number of times I've died.
Well,
but
you'll get there. I mean, turn-based games are so difficult because you could win and just trounce the enemy based on a couple lucky rolls. Or, like in XCOM, you could just get rolled over by like a lucky alien sniper or a rocket launcher. You know, like, it's just, it's luck of the draw sometimes. So I know so you're enjoying it overall then?
I am. Now,
One question I have, and I say that every time I have a question that pops into my head. So it's technically true because I only have one at each given moment. But anyways, the story, it's an RPG. The story is sometimes what makes or breaks a game for me, you know, like I'm trying to think, like Bound by Flame. Not the best game. Kind of mediocre. Gameplay was kind of broken. Very bad. Demon Souls-ish, kind of slow-moving, choppy-chop. I hate that. But the story was interesting, and the concept was interesting. The final boss was a pain in the butt, so I quit. But I want to know, is Divinity Original Sin... It's not about sex, right? Isn't that what Original Sin
No.
is? I felt weird talking about it on Twitter. Like, I have people who aren't gamers who follow me, and it's like, what the hell is Ryan talking about? Like,
can't wait to get into this Original Sin.
It's like... And then your mother-in-law's falling in. That's an awkward conversation. It's like, is Divinity like a pet name for your fiance? Or I don't even want to get into this. A Divinity Original Sin. What's the story about?
It's like they haven't really gone too in-depth. Basically what happened is...
Well, Ryan, when a man
I just started.
I'm just joking. No, sorry. Okay, I'm going to let you go.
It's, like, weird. Like, when you first start, you kind of have very little... I mean, they do, like, a quick little, you know, intro before the game starts. But when you jump in, it kind of just feels like your two main characters are just buddies traveling the world.
Okay.
And then as you're just going around getting quests, you know, it just feels like very normal RPG. Hey, can you go kill this person for doing this? Sure, whatever. But there's one segment of a game that just, like, dumps a whole lot of, I'm assuming, main storyline information on you in, like, 5 minutes, which felt very weird. It's like only that section of the game cares about what's really going on.
Interesting.
But essentially, magic is rare.
Okay. Magic.
Essentially, magic is rare in this land, and your two people are magic hunters of some sort. So you need to find sources of magic and extinguish them from the world.
Oh.
Something like that. Again, they just dumped it like
so
really
quick. So you're poachers, is what you're saying.
Eh, more like bounty hunters, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I again, say potato, you say potato.
They say kill person X, I'll give you gold. I say sure, we go from there.
There was I was watching some YouTube gameplay because I wanted to kind of know what I was getting into. And it looked like there was some choices you could make in the game based on the two characters you're playing. There's like these instances where you and your co-op partner or you and your AI or your companion will have a conversation in the sense that you walk into a room and say, an NPC says, hey, stop that man, or stop that chicken, I think was the specific example.
Yes, it's stop the chicken.
Yeah,
yes.
Stop that chicken. It was basically exactly like Spider-Man when Uncle Ben dies, except with a chicken. So, and then you say, hey, we should stop that chicken because, you know, chickens are delicious. And then the co-op partner, you have a choice to agree or say, no, that chicken deserves to be free, man. And you, it feels weird and extra steppy when you're playing with yourself. When you're playing single player. But if you're playing with like an online co-op partner, that'd be an interesting dynamic. Like both you and your friend that you're playing with co-op can kind of create this other character in your game and shape it, as opposed to just bringing their own character into the game. I haven't played co-op, so I don't know how it quite works, but that's how I'm assuming it works.
Yeah, that element probably works a lot better in co-op, just because in single player, since I control all the characters, I control both sides of the conversation.
Yeah.
So usually both characters are modeled what I think should happen. So in that one, I'm like, you should let the chicken go free. And then my partner's like, yeah, every living being deserves a life.
Even chickens. So,
and, you know, then I turn around and go kill some stuff. But, yeah. You know, they don't. Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure that dynamic is a lot better in co-op just because I won't be the one making all the decisions on what they say.
Yeah. So. No, that's good. And you had mentioned it being kind of difficult but also kind of great. Now, do you like difficult games? You're not one of those
yes.
Dark Souls fans, because I'm pretty sure that was on the questionnaire for being a guest on the Gamers Inn.
I enjoyed Dark Souls briefly.
Okay.
But after a while, it kind of got old, dying from everything.
So like, you don't like dying, is what you're saying.
I don't mind it to an extent.
Okay.
But, I mean, for Dark Souls, it felt like that was a primary mechanic of the game. Like,
yeah.
With RPGs, they're like, oh, you explore, you get quests, you level up, you assign skill points. The conversation around Dark Souls must have been, oh, you kill stuff, you get gold, you level up. You have to die a lot, but eventually you'll win. Which made great moments like killing a boss feel great. But I think I only killed like two bosses in Dark Souls before I was like, I'm going to go to a different game.
I think I did that with the original Demon's Souls. There was like a boss where... it was this giant guy, knight in armor. I'm like, that's real original, guys. You basically scaled a knight that was literally outside the door to be like 100 times the size. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, come on, really? Ready to reuse assets. But I finally beat him by just like clanging on his heel for 6 hours. And I was like, I beat Demon Souls. I did it. I beat Demon Souls. And then I cracked the disc over my knee. And then realized, shit, I rented it from Blockbuster. What the hell am I doing? So
yeah, it's
like I don't.
I don't mind it so much as long as it doesn't interrupt the gameplay. Because, I mean, with Divinity, yeah, I've died a few times, but it's part of a learning process. Like, I felt like each time I died, I was like, oh, you know what? I should have done this, then this. Let me try it again. Mm-hmm. With Demon Souls and Dark Souls, it was like, yeah, you died because the Tower Knight just stepped on you.
Yeah. And the awesome thing about what I'm assuming when I finally get a chance to play Divinity and any indie game coming out these days is that there is a treasure trove of indie titles out right now. And my purchases for the Steam sale were a majority indies. Not because I just wait until they all go on sale and buy them, but more so because it's like there's just so many of them that I didn't even realize I wanted until like I saw them on the Steam sale. Excuse me. So what do you think about these indie games like that you're playing a lot of? Are you playing a lot of indie games?
I am. In fact, it's mostly what I've been playing lately. Like, it's usually Blizzard games and then indie games. Mm-hmm. Just because I like Blizzard content. But indie games lately, like a couple years back, indie games just kind of felt like, oh, you can get these amazing titles, but if you want, there's some indie games over here. Like, they always kind of felt like they were sub-major company games.
I wouldn't even say they were, like, a subgenre. They were more, there was just less great ones. Like, I think indie games have really come into their own in the last few years. But I mean, like, before that, it was really more about, like, the Xbox Summer of Arcade. Those were the indie games that were great.
Yeah.
And then, like, but when I say indie, more like smaller titles. I mean, you had Braid, you had Shadow Complex, you had Super Meat Boy. Those were the giants. Now it's like there's one a month, you know, which is fantastic because it's, who needs a WoW subscription when you can just buy the $15 indie game of the month? It's, I mean, really, like, you're getting a different experience every month. And you don't have to, you know, try to beat the server queue. You can just go in and play.
Yeah, that's kind of how I kind of got away from World of Warcraft is that, you know, oh, these, you know, the MMOs are fine and all, but it's the same experience every month. And then I jump into Steam and suddenly I got games like Divinity Original Sin, FTL, Don't Starve. The Forest is a new one that just came out. That's,
Yeah, I saw that. You sent it to me, and I'm like, I can't tell whether I should be thinking you, because it looks super scary. How much have you played of The Forest?
About 5 minutes.
All right, so you got pretty far. 5 minutes.
When I sent it to you, it was in good intentions.
I'm just pulling the chain. I'm looking forward to checking it out, and I'm sure we'll stream it, and I'm sure I'll scream.
Oh, boy. Like, they want to introduce a co-op mode in that, and I want it so bad because I need emotional support at times. Like, I've never, ever in my whole 20-some-odd years of gaming ever had every single hair on my body stand on edge, and I am just freaking out. And that game did it to me less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if I should play this game because my parents live in the country, right? Like, and they're surrounded by forest. You go to their house and it's like every side of the house has a forest. So it's kind of like, I'm like, I can't do this.
I don't, if you live around a forest, I don't know if this is the game for you because, oh man, those cannibals in that game. Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about them.
Well, you said cannibals, so, like, what do you do in the game? Like, are you just, is it Slender plus, or what is it?
Basically, you're in an airplane, it crashes, and it's,
so it's kind lost. Of a... Is there a polar bear?
I don't know.
Not in the first five minutes.
Not in the first 5 minutes. But it's a mix of, like, Don't Starve, Minecraft, and I guess Somebody's Worst Nightmare. Because
somebody
out there is very disturbed. That's
one of those developers. We can go down the list.
But, like, I mean, usually games kind of ease you into it. I don't know if this one's completely randomly generated. I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
But like 5 minutes in, these cannibals are wandering the beach that I just happen to be standing on, looking down into my inventory pack. And I look up and they're like walking at me. And these guys just look freaky scary. And I just stand there. I'm like, I start backpedaling. I'm like, oh my God. Why are these guys coming at me? And then it just went downhill from there.
Like, you literally fell back downhill.
I was walking backwards up a hill.
Oh, okay, good.
But yeah, it's that game is intense.
And so you mentioned they're thinking of adding a co-op mode and requiring like that help, which reminds me of the last two Extra Life streams we did. I don't know if you were following the Gamers In when we did that, but the last year I played Outlast at like 3 a.m. with Iagovos in my ear, kind of coaching me through it. And he'd be watching it on like a delay while I'm playing. So I'd like scream on the stream and he'd be watching like, oh my God, you know, and it was really helpful because, I was able to sort of like talk through it. Like, okay, this guy's going to jump at me. He's got a severed penis in his hand. Like, this is going to be really bad. And then the year before that, we played Slender, but what we did was all, like, six of us who were playing the Extra Life stream, all of us played our own game of Slender, started at the same time, and we're all on Skype together. And it was just, after a while, it was just a symphony of screams, and it was a lot of fun. I've been thinking a lot about Extra Life ever since we earned at Nerdtacular. That's the last time I mentioned it. And I'm really looking forward to Extra Life, which is end of October, I believe. A lot of fun, and for charity. So we'll probably have details in the next month or so for people to check out on the website. But are you familiar with Extra Life?
Vaguely.
Vaguely. Oh, okay. Well, for those who are unaware, it's basically a charity that gamers participate in where they play video games for 25 hours straight. And all the money donated goes to a children's hospital in the player's local city or the closest children's hospital to where they live. It's a really good cause. They raise great money every year, and we have fun doing it every year. So looking forward to hitting the ground running, planning once James and Jocelyn get settled from their Utah trip. Yeah, so The Forest, would you recommend it? Is it still... It's in early access, right? Do you recommend people check it out, or do you recommend they wait while it's in the cooker a little longer?
Well, the game is definitely playable. I didn't really run into any major bugs. And they also have a peace mode. So if you're not into getting the life scared out of you, you can put it in peace mode and then just kind of explore the Minecraft side of it.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it's... After that first 5 minutes, I needed some peace mode.
So does it just take all the monsters out and you can explore?
Yes.
So is it a game that makes me wonder, like, peace mode would be really good to have when in, like, a single-player game, like Outlast, where you just want to experience the story, you don't want to be scared. Although some would argue that if you went into peace mode in Outlast, you would essentially not have a game. It would just be a walking simulator. But... Do you feel, does The Forest have a story, or is it just like a sandboxy survive type game?
Pretty much the only story that I know of is that your plane crashes, and as you're slowly coming conscious, one of the tribe's people takes your son that was traveling with you and walks away. And then you black out, and you wake back up, and boom, survival mode. Oh. So I'm assuming the end game is find out where they took your child, but...
And it turns out they ate him.
Last thing on my mind the moment I step out of that plane.
Yeah. You're not at all worried about your son. Every man for himself.
Fended for himself. Yep.
Awesome. And did you play these games on a PC?
Yes. Okay. I'm PC, so.
Now, with this PC of yours.
Yes. Well, I've been thinking about getting a new PC.
Yeah.
Like every time I try to build one, I end up mix-matching the parts, and I can't get the right one. And if I buy this cool-looking tower, nothing fits. I don't know what I'm going to do, Ryan.
It's like an expensive jigsaw, Josh, which sucks, because if you get the pieces in wrong and you try to, like, cram them together, you can actually really break a video card, trying to cram it into like a PCI slot, not a PCIe. But that's where Doghouse Systems comes in. They have great systems available on their website, and you can also support the show by going to our sponsor's website, doghousesystems.com. Is there anything else you want to know about computers?
Ryan, every time I buy a pre-made computer, the company doesn't put enough memory in it. What if Doghouse does the same thing?
Well, if you use the code, the gamers, this is like a giant bomb ad. If you lose the, if you don't lose it, but if you use the code, the gamers in, they'll double your RAM. So you'll always have enough RAM to whatever RAM does. I know what RAM does, but yeah, double your RAM with the code, the gamers in. Go to doghousesystems.com and get your order, not odor, get your order on. I'm all words today. Continues our game talk with not a PC game. That's why we saved it for after the Doghouse plug. This little title is a PS4 game that I got a review code for. It's a it's called Blue Estate, and it is a light gun game, a light gun style game. Now I see you're looking puzzled, Josh, and that may be because you recognize the name.
Yes.
And it is because it is based on a comic.
That's where I heard it from.
Mm-hmm. Or it's an old TV show. I think it's also an old TV show.
I think I heard it in a comic.
Yeah. So it's based on a comic. And what it is a... you ever play those light gun games in the arcade or Duck Hunt or something where you're like shooting at the screen?
Yeah, is it... Are you talking about like rail shooters?
Yeah. Okay, rail shooters is a much better way of putting it. So like... House of the Dead, Overkill, like that. This is in the same vein. You've got your gun on screen, and the cool thing about it, and the reason I wanted to check it out, was because it uses the PS4's remote control gyroscopes to allow you to move your gun on screen, and it's very intuitive in the sense that it doesn't use the PlayStation Eye. It literally just uses the gyroscope where. When you move your controller by pointing it at the screen, I'm doing the motion. Josh, you can't see me, but I'm looking like a weirdo. And you tap the shoulder button, your gun shoots. And it's not perfect, but what light gun game is, besides actual light gun games, it's a lot of fun, and it's a smaller title. I forgot to look up how much it was. I think it's $10 on the PlayStation Store. It might be $15. And it's cool in the sense that the light gun tech works really well and is actually super satisfying. But there's one issue I have with it, and it's for those who probably read the comic. I did look up the comic, and it's very much inspired by the comic. And like the game starts out as you're a Italian mobster punk looking for... your favorite stripper that got stolen from your favorite strip club. So you can imagine that this is not one of those games. This is probably one of those games that will be on feminist frequency or whatever. It does not do anything to improve that sort of, you know, predicament the game industry is in. However, I will say that the guy you're playing in the game is a complete and utter stupid man. He's stupid. And the girl you're trying to save, who is a stripper, but she's just like, what are you doing here? You just killed like 100 dudes, and I'm just sitting here doing a job. I was not kidnapped. I'm here to do a job. That job may be stripping for this weird Korean guy, but hey, I was just doing a job. You didn't need to kill all those guys to come save me. And I guess it kind of gets a little bit of a redeeming thing there, but then like the next scene is her, you know, you're protecting her as she's like walking through the halls, and it's really like really icky and gross how they focus on her as the character. But like I said, the light gun technology is really cool and actually super satisfying in the way you are shooting dudes, and you know, it has like combos and countdowns, and the dialogue is actually kind of funny in a South Park kind of way, which is very refreshing in games because it's usually like poop jokes and trying too hard type stuff. But, yeah. Uh-oh, the dog's going. Dog's like, that's sexist. It's just really quirky and fun, and it starts to... It's just that first level, first couple levels that have the kind of awkward, sexualized woman in it and stupid-ass main character. But after that, it starts to pick up and you know, just be funny as opposed to kind of, you know, cheap shoddy. But no, I just really enjoyed that light gun aspect of it and the gyroscopes and the way you move your controller around. And probably haven't played a game like that since like some of the Resident Evil titles on Wii, where you had like the zapper and you were like pointing at the screen and
yeah,
it's very floaty. It's not perfect. It's certainly very floaty. No, it's a fun little, like, sit down, I want to shoot some dudes and just kind of lay back and have some fun. There's a demo on the PlayStation 4, Sony store. So if you have a PS4, definitely check it out. It's only available on PlayStation. It might be coming to PC at some point, but yeah.
What about Xbox One?
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe there'll be a Kinect version where you just do this. You have the gun fingers, you know, that wouldn't be too bad.
I couldn't do those kind of games without some sort of peripheral that felt like the gun itself, kind of like the arcade versions that do it. I know the PlayStation 3 had a game that was arcade, but I can't remember which game it was though. It was a rail shooter and they actually had a peripheral that was kind of like the arcade game. I don't know if I can float the controller around like that.
And I mean, the Xbox One through the Kinect has like controller tracking, so it could work. I'm just trying to find out like how much it is, but I should have looked this up before we did the show. But it's interesting. Definitely check out the demo. But to be honest, the checking out the demo might just be enough for you to experience the tech of it. Yeah. I mean, really, are these like light gun games ever something that? It's $20. So probably don't want to get it at $20. I would say like definitely like $10. But definitely check out the demo. It's got some cheap laughs and you can have some fun with it. And yeah, it's not doing so well on the reviews though. And I kind of.
Yeah, it's kind of a hot topic issue at the moment.
Is it?
With the whole portraying females in games thing.
Yeah, oh no, yeah, for sure.
I don't think it's a good idea to,
And again, like, this is one of those examples where it's not needed. Like, I don't know. I guess the character is a stripper and she has to be a stripper, but... Like, does it have to be, like, can she not, like, throw clothes on? She had time to throw clothes on. She just decides to run around without clothes on for some reason. I mean, if I'm being shot at, the first thing I want to do is, like, I need to cover up in case I die. Because I don't want them to find me, like, just naked on the floor, you know? And most people are like, Ryan, come on, really? The first thing you're going to do if you're being shot at is piss yourself and then run away no matter what you're wearing. But
maybe being naked is a shock factor, and instead of shooting you, they're like, is Ryan really naked? And then you're like, ha-ha, got away.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it becomes an offensive weapon for you.
Well, as I was playing like the first two levels, I was thinking to myself, like, the next time I see this game is probably going to be in a... feminist frequency video, and I do not blame her at all, because this is one of those instances where it's like, see, we're still not getting it, folks, come on, you know. And it's games like this that kind of showcase that we have not learned anything, because like I said, after that second level, it drops that shit and just becomes goofy fun. It's like a B movie, kind of, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So, and anyways, there's a demo. If you have a PlayStation and you're looking for some shooting fun, shooting gallery type stuff, definitely check it out. Yeah, I think that does it for all the games we've been playing. Josh, what do you think?
I just having a lot of fun with these indie games, man.
Yeah.
They're going to hold me over till the fall.
Yeah. It's only the start of July, and the next major release is Destiny. And I'm looking forward to it, although I might actually not pick it up when it comes out, because I'm getting married 3 weeks after that, and probably best not to try and play an MMO shooter that I'm looking forward to. So I might wait, and then I might, when I get back from all that jazz, I might pick up Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U and just have fun with that. But we're not going to... I don't think we planned a cheesy ad for Slash Loot, so I'm just going to read this. Unless you want to say, hey, where would I find a shirt if I was running through the halls? Yeah.
If I was running away from people shooting at me and I was naked by chance, where would I go to get an awesome shirt?
Well, you would go back in time and tell yourself to order from SlashLoot.com. Go to SlashLoot.com to grab yourself a Gamers in T-shirt. Looks very good while you're running away and being shot. They have tons of other awesome shirts, though, in case, you know, you want to, you know, mix it up. You don't want to be like everybody else. You can go to find designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and, of course, The Angry Chicken. The Angry Chicken. Sorry, folks. So go to SlashLoot.com and show off your podcast pride. That's a show. We did it.
But wait, what? Ryan.
Oh.
What if I want to support the show? What else could I do?
Well, if you're not interested in a new computer or you already have a fancy shirt to wear while you're running away, not being naked, you can go to patreon.com/thegamersin. There are pledge levels of $1, $5, whatever you want. And that all goes back into the show. And we even reward our patrons with game nights and free games and lots of cool stuff. And today we are going to thank specifically Sparky's Shocker. I'm hoping that's a Pikachu thing. Just going to put that out there. But no, Sparky's awesome. He was the one who had a cool comment either last week or the week before, and I think we were talking about... I can't remember what we were talking about. I have all the notes in front of me. You'd think at the click of my button, I could figure out what Sparky wanted to tell us. And it was about him buying a 3DS, and that's when I showed off my fancy 3DS or Luigi's Mansion Club Nintendo game thing that I still haven't put away.
So jealous about that, man.
Oh, it's so cool. Club Nintendo's rad. No other company does it like Nintendo, and sure, you have to fill out some shitty surveys, but eventually you get some cool stuff. so there you go. Josh, remind the fine folks, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on the Any Key Gaming podcast. We record at 7 p.m. on Saturdays. On Twitch, we are the Any Key Gaming. You can find me on Twitter at @the_JDC, and we also have the website www.theanykeygaming.com.
Perfect. Perfect. And you are playing Divinity Original Sin on Steam.
Yes.
Yep. And if you need somebody to help you decide whether you should kill that chicken or not, you can find him playing Divinity. So save that chicken. Cool. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and, of course, Amove Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GIS Gamer. Also, you can find her in Utah. Unfortunately, she's at Nerdtacular. Okay, that's the last time. Ryan, myself, at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show. I almost threw another Nerdtacular thing in there. At The Gamers Inn, the video versions of all our episodes can and soon will be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You should totally go subscribe. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google Plus. Like us, add us to your circles, whatever you do on those social networks. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com, and we could read your message on the show. Before we go, just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You're hearing it right now. Find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Farewell.
Mm-hmm.